welcome to Bangor Community Church Podcast. We pray that you will be blessed today as you hear the Word of God.
I believe this morning is a time where we can join in the Word for your own personal rebuilding, your own personal dreams and visions. I love speaking on this subject because it's something that just comes out of me. And I know there's many others here this morning that are built like that. But dreams and visions are the heartbeat of God Himself. And I just want to start off this morning with, I don't even really know the title to put on this. And one of the titles I had was, God is a Builder. Another title is, Built for Purpose. But that's the kind of theme we're going to talk in this morning, very informally, in this exciting time. Look, we have a sanctuary there, which is now a blank canvas, ready to do what we determine through the Holy Spirit is the right thing to do. And there are no limits to what we can do in this sanctuary and beyond. In terms of your ministry and the ministries of this church, there are actually no limits that God has placed upon us. The only limits that I can ever see in Scripture are lower limits, low thinking, lack of faith. There's the only limits that you will ever see in Scripture, but there is actually no upper limits. And I think that that is awesome because that means you dreamers and you visionaries, whatever it is in your natural life, that God has given you the ability to hope, the ability to dream. And even if it takes a miracle, God says, that's what you can have. And sufficient unto your faith, let it be so. But there's no lower limits. God will never rebuke you for coming before Him and believing for the greatest miracle. Even if the people around you say you're stupid, irresponsible, foolish, God will never, ever put you down for daring to believe. Because that's where it all begins. Amen? So God, He's a builder. Everywhere we look in Scripture, we see God and buildings and building things. Ephesians 2:21. Let's start off in the New Testament. Talking about us, it says, in whom the whole building is framed. God describes us as a church, as His building. He says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. He builds it. We don't build it. We don't build that sanctuary. God builds that sanctuary through us. We don't build anything. In fact, the Bible says that Psalm 127, verse 1, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it. That describes your job, your family, your everything about you, and how much more does it describe His church? He is a builder. Amen? Hebrews 11, verse 10, Abraham was looking for a place, a city that had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. God builds things, doesn't He? He builds things. Hallelujah. And there's a fantastic scripture. Listen, this is just some of the scriptures where God is a builder. Hebrews 3, verse 4. For time, we could pop that one up. It says, for every house is built by someone. Hebrews 3, verse 4. But He who built all things is God. What about that for a scripture? Where it's God that builds all things. So God didn't actually build even these houses. God didn't design designs through architect. God, sorry, the architects didn't design. The builders didn't just build. Actually, God built it through them. Because whether they realize it or not, God is sovereign. He is the one that gives gifts unto men, and men simply use those gifts and talents ignorantly or otherwise, but God gave it to them. There's David, as I said this morning, is a car mechanic. But David he wasn't just born a mechanic. He didn't just come out of the womb a mechanic. We believe what the word says. God, who foreknew David before the foundation, foreknew him and his plan for him and how David was going to be designed and the specific gifts he put in him and the family he was going to put David into and the course of avenue that David would go on, even within his work. God's behind that. So if David fixes a car, we could actually say, well, God, through David, fixed that car. If you go out and do anything in the workplace, especially something that's good and noble and honest and of a good report, something that's worthy of the gifting and talent within you, God did that. God is a builder. Every house is built by someone. That's the human hand. But he who built all things, including those houses, the unseen hand, it's God. So he's a builder. So if God is a builder, if he's an architect, and remember this morning, I just want to spark your dreams afresh. I just want to spark our creativity together as a church as we are in a season of rebuilding, of building, of refurbishment, of redevelopment. If God is a builder, if God is an architect, do you think he builds big or do you think he builds small? It's actually so simple. It is so easy. Always to find the mind of God. It's black and white. Because we've been made in God's image, in the very likeness of God, and the heart of bigness, therefore, whether it's disguised under layers of disappointment, layers of whatever, layers of hereditary going astray, deep within everyone's heart, yours and mine, is the most magnanimous, unlimited potential for creativity and vision, because it's God's seed himself. He's given to every man and woman the measure of faith. And that's all it takes, is that measure of faith that God has put in your heart, whether you feel it or not. The Bible says he's given to every one of us that same measure of faith. It's simply then what you choose to do with it. And the way to use that faith and start to expand it is simply start to read the Word. And as you start to read the Word, become acquainted with God, you can never again have a small vision, a small-minded vision. Okay, so we've established that God is the builder. God is the architect, isn't he? And he always, always builds big, plans big. Designs in detail. Nothing left to chance. Well, let's look at a few things that God built and that God designed. Now, God always builds big and he always plans first. Then he builds. So this is very important as we come as a church to, with the Holy Spirit, with God and all of his unlimitedness on our side. And what are we going to do? What way are we going to move forward with the new sanctuary? Expansion or not expansion? Well, God always plans and envisions what he wants to accomplish. And then he goes and he builds it forward. He prepares it and he builds it according to what his plan and purpose is going to be. He doesn't build it small and then let it develop step by step. That's called evolution. And God is not a God of evolution. But God prepares a place from the beginning of time. according to his purpose and function, and he builds it big. Now, just a few interesting facts for you. I love facts. Well, as many of you know, one of the things I wanted to be in my younger life was a doctor. And again, I have a very factual mind, believe it or not. I've also a very creative mind, but there's the two elements of me that go together. And the factual mind, I loved when I went to that 1 year of medical school, and I did anatomy, embryology, biochemistry, physiology, all of those subjects. And God gave me just that year of satisfaction in the intellectual arena of subjects that I love and have really been a part of my spiritual. I can relate spiritually to those natural things, and we all can. And so I'm so thankful for that time. It was never wasted. And it's now. But one of the things when I was studying the body, the human body, I thought, wow. And this is where my faith really started to grow as well. When I saw what God did in the natural, how much more is the unseen realm, the unlimited realm of God? How much more? These things are passing away. This physical body of yours and mine, it's passing away. It's going to go back to dust. But when we look at what God even did in this, it is absolutely amazing. Amazing. Let me give you a couple of wee things. When I was studying the kidneys, I thought it was amazing. There's these little things in your kidneys called nephrons. All right? Nephrons, N-E-P-H-R-O-N. Nephrons are the functional unit in your kidney. They're little tubules. They're about 1.5 centimeters if you stretch that out. Tiny, thin tubes in your kidneys. And they're what filter the blood through a process and ultimately end up in the function that your kidneys do. And your kidneys pass urine and all of that. Vital to your body. If your kidneys weren't there, like all of those different organs, you wouldn't survive. But your kidneys, that functional unit called the nephron. Some nurses here, some medical students or doctors, but that nephron. The nephrons, when you drink coffee, caffeine is what they call a diuretic. And those nephrons, you've got so many nephrons packed into your kidneys that there's usually about a third of them to a half of them in reserve at all times. That's why when you drink coffee, it activates those other nephrons, and suddenly you find yourself needing to run to the bathroom a lot more because the other nephrons are coming into activity. Your body has so many nephrons. God has built you with more than enough inside you. And the nephrons, these little tubules, if you were to take them from one kidney, just one kidney, and you were to add those nephrons together end to end, you would be able to go to Belfast and back three times. Just with one kidney and the nephrons end to end. Belfast and back three times, between 80 and 90 miles of nephrons. That's one kidney. That's why when people get a kidney removed, the other kidney can compensate. It often grows and it comes into activity. God is a God of more than enough. He's gone throughout your life. He's seen every hazard. He's seen every environment on earth that we have to go into and populate. And within your physical body, he's given you the ability to adapt, to grow, and to conquer. Amen? Another one of the human body. I always thought this was amazing. Your DNA. Some of you have probably heard this and looked at this. But the DNA is the functional replicating unit in you that makes you who you are. We're made in God's image. We've got God's spiritual and natural DNA, I suppose, because God made us. In our bodies. Your DNA, it's found in every one of your cells. If you were to take the DNA out of one cell in your body, just one cell, and the DNA, you were to add it together, these are microscopic double helix elements. You've all seen what the double helix shape of the DNA, and you were to just stretch it out and add it end to end, it would be about 6 feet. 6 feet of DNA in every cell. It's estimated, and no scientist can really quantify this amount because everyone's different. But on average, it's estimated that each human could have about 50 trillion cells in your body. That means you would have about over 10 billion miles of DNA in your body, just your body and mine. The sun is estimated to be about 93 million miles away. And therefore, you have enough DNA in your body stretched end to end to get to the sun and back 300 times. Just in your physical body, God, the creator, the builder, look what he's done. Or if you want to think of it round the earth, you could go round the earth with your DNA 2.5 million times. Isn't that awesome? I mean, your brain can nearly not even take in those figures, and that's just you and me. Never mind the rest of the physical world. They estimate that the DNA that would be on Earth, you would have to travel 640 billion light years in a straight line. That's what the DNA is on Earth. 640 billion light years. So isn't God amazing how he builds? I mean, even there is miraculous when he created that out of nothing. And my mind boggles at evolutionists and all of this, because it takes incredible faith to be an evolutionist, where all that comes from nothing. So that's what God can do. So God is a builder. He is a big builder. He plans and dreams big, big, big. And this morning, I want to just close as we pray for each other, for our dreams, for our visions. God is as interested in your dreams because he put the dream in you as he is in his own dreams. And the two become one. God wants us to fulfill the dreams that he puts in your heart. Not that the enemy can come and seed false dreams in your heart. And you can easily see those because they go against the word of God. Straight away. They take you away from what your heart witnesses to and the peace of God in your heart. If you have false dreams in your heart, at the center of those, you won't have a peace and you won't have a witness of the Holy Spirit. And it probably isn't according to the word. But what's according to the word and what God has put in your heart, no limits to it. God is as passionate about you for achieving your dreams because he's put them there as he is achieving his own. It's the same heart. And he's a big God. He is an awesome God. He can do so many things. And he's chosen to do it with us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I want to come back now to the fact that God is big. Everywhere we see God speaking about the double portion, I'll quickly pass over some scriptures because I don't want to keep us long this morning. I'm so glad that God is a big God, because who is glad that God's love and mercy are big and not small? Who's glad that they are limitless? His love and his mercy. How can we want God's love and mercy to be so big and yet our thinking to be so small? It doesn't match up, does it? So as a church, we need to just dream and think big and plan with God, for with his heart. Hallelujah. Hezekiah, God came to Hezekiah and says, get your affairs in order because you're going to die. Who knows King Hezekiah? Heard of King Hezekiah? Yes. You find it in the book of Hezekiah in the Old Testament, isn't that right? There's no book of Hezekiah, don't worry. Trick question. You find it in Isaiah. But he prayed to God that God, he says, God, don't let this be. Extend my life. And did God answer that question with a yes or a no, do you think? God, who is the big God, even at the end of Hezekiah's life, extended his life. In other words, God was pleased with Hezekiah's heart that says, God, give me more years. Give me more. Because that's God's heart. More. So he extended Hezekiah's life. There was a king in Israel called Joash. You'll find it in 2 Kings 13, 17 to 19. And when God was wanting to give victory to the Israel over their enemies, through the prophet, he spoke to this king and said, strike the ground. Strike the ground. Take the arrows and strike the ground. And this king struck the ground 3 times. And you know what? God was disappointed with him. Why do you think God was disappointed with him? Because he struck the ground 3 times. Anybody guess? Anybody guess? He could have struck it maybe more than 3 times. Limited thinking. Laziness. Low expectation. God says you should have struck more because I would have given you that amount of victory over your enemies. And because you've only struck 3 times, that's all you're going to get. So God wants us to think big, to be in his vision, to be thinking and acting with him. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. In the parable of the talents, we all know it. One had one, another one had two, another one had five. The one that had five, what did he do? Increased it to 10. That's 100-fold increase. Jesus in the parable, this is Jesus speaking. And Jesus was delighted. Jesus uses this as a story. He says he had 5 talents, and you know what? He increased them to 10, 100-fold. Expansion. The other one had 2, wasn't it? And he increased them to 4, was it? 5? 100-fold again. Jesus was pleased with them. Those two were exactly the same. It didn't matter. Some people have different giftings than others. We're all equal in God's sight because God is not a respecter of persons. God just expects you to fulfill the destiny that he's put in your life 100-fold. And if somebody seems to have had a starting point ahead of you on the journey, well, there's more expected of them. They should be finishing ahead, as long as you achieve your 100-fold. But the person that had 1 talent, what did he do? He buried it, and he ended up still with 1 talent. You know what amazes me? He didn't lose the talent. He wasn't rebuked because he lost that talent or decreased it. Why was he rebuked? Because he didn't increase it. God is a God of increasing all the time. Hallelujah. Amen. Exodus 3:8, God's promise was to bring them into a land flowing with milk and honey. No lack. Double portion all through. Job 42, verse 10, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. You all know the story of Job? Twice as much. Look at the heart of God through the tragedies of Job. And God gave him twice because Job had big thinking in his heart. Amen. Zechariah 9:12 says, return to the stronghold, you prisoners of hope. Has maybe your hope become a prisoner? The dreams that you've had maybe in your youth, and maybe disappointments of life have taken hope in your life and taken hope prisoner. Could that be you this morning? Could it even be us as a church this morning? Hope. Disappointment. Wars against hope. It takes hope a prisoner. It can never kill hope, but it can surround hope. Abraham had to hope against hope. When natural hope was gone, Abraham hoped against it. And maybe your hope has been taken prisoner, like Zechariah 9:12 says, return to the stronghold, you prisoners of hope. Even today I declare to you that I will restore double to you. Amen. God is the God of at least double portion. At least the least that we can expect with God in the scriptures is a double portion. Never mind 10, 30, 60-fold, 100-fold. Isn't that awesome? Hallelujah. And Isaiah 61 verse 7, instead of your shame, you will receive a double portion. All through the scripture, I see God as a builder. God builds big. Look at what he's done with your body and my body, and that's just going to turn back to the dust someday. And God builds big. So just to finish, I want to say, come back to the statement I made. The dreams that God placed in your heart, even you may even need to go back to being a young girl, a young boy. You may never even have uncovered your dreams. But this is a time to start. Because before the foundation of the world, the Lamb was slain for you, and God foreknew you and predestined you and put everything in you, so much greater than your nephrons, so much greater than your DNA. It's called your giftings, your talent, and your destiny, and the call that's on your life. And maybe this is even the first time that you've heard that there is an incredible call in your life. All you've got to do is go to God, and he will tell you. He will start to put dreams, start to reactivate those dreams that are in your heart from the beginning of time. I want to finish on this. If God is a big builder, and we know that he is, and everything that God has is limitless for us, with his mercy and his love being the greatest example, he'll never contradict himself and do anything less. God is love. So if God is love, we can see how he thinks, how he operates by looking at his grace and his mercy. God forgives. God will constantly forgive you. If you drop the ball, all God will say to you is repent, get back up, and keep running. God will never come against you. He will never not support you. God will always want the best for you. And God will always encourage faith in your heart. So when it comes to building, I said a statement there that God always builds first for the plan that he wants to achieve. And I would love to sow this thought in us as a church. We are at a time now of building. Let's not have a small mind. Let's not be extravagant either for extravagance sake. But let's think, God, what do you want to accomplish through us as a church? Even if it's 10 years away, what do you want to do in us and through us and right into the next generation, Lord? And give us the vision to build that now. That's what God does. God is a builder. He builds big, but he builds right at the beginning to accommodate the end of his vision. He doesn't do it in stages. That's human wisdom. That's safe thinking. And that's evolution. Now, let's to prove this point, let's go to the very first verse in our Bible. The very first place where we meet God, see God, and encapsulated in that one verse is this whole subject. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's it. In the beginning, God created and built the heavens and the earth. And with all of that expanse, he put one man in the middle of it. I think that is amazing. That shows you how God builds all of that extravagance for one man called Adam, who God built it first according to his vision for eternity. Then, having built it, puts one man in it, and that's where it starts. Then Eve, then. And we see that the first thing God says to Adam, man, we made it, he says, now be fruitful and multiply. So when it comes to us as a church, think big. Let's think, what is our vision? What is our mission? What is our purpose? How many ministries? What space are we going to need for our children's work, for our youth work, for our worship teams, for our recorded songs that are God's going to write through us, for our book sales, for our missions work, for our impacting the community with storehouses, for our life groups, for our teaching centers and training centers. And that's just scratching the surface. What things are in our heart as a church? I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Build big. And let's go and let's do something that honors the heart of God through us. Amen. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Back to your vision. So we close the prayer now tonight. I do believe that the enemy, what he cannot do is kill you. Physically, you choose to do that. You have to give him the authority to kill you physically. You've got to choose to go out and speed on the roads or abuse your body in such a way that you'll die. But outside of that, the enemy cannot take your life. Have you ever thought about that? If he could, he already would have. Isn't that right? So he can't take your life because God has fixed your life, planned your life, purposed your life. So the only thing that he can do is try to stop your life, try to limit your life, and try to limit your dreams, your thinking, so that you don't accomplish. And again, that's in our hands. So as we close in prayer this morning, I'd like us all just to lay our hands, just lay your hands on your heart, because God is interested in the miracles that he has to do in your life. He's interested in your dreams. He's interested in your heart's desire. The Bible says that he gives us our heart's desires. Amen. So if there's brokenness in our families, if there's brokenness in your finance, if there's miracles required in any sphere, if there's limits in the natural, whatever it is, if your heart's desire is for bigger than that, more than that, then let's put our hands, because God's desire is right beside you, right with you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And in doing so, as we lay our hands on our own dreams for our own life, let's keep God's dreams alive in our heart. And let's say, God, you've put me on this earth. You've put me on this earth for a short period of time. I am going to stand and with others accomplish the purpose and the dreams and the visions that you've desired to accomplish through my life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And if just my DNA can go around the world 2.5 million times, how much more can you do through the giftings and the talent and the faith and the deposit and the spiritual and the everlasting dimension that you've put within me? Hallelujah. So this is a time of, I believe God is now stretching out the tent pegs again. He's putting excitement and faith in us as a church and as individuals this morning. Hallelujah. To be able to believe, to be able to do, to be able to be excited about it. Hallelujah. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We look to God that he will direct your steps in blessings through this week. For more information, visit us at bangercommunitychurch.co.uk or find us on Facebook.